At PNC Private Bank, we want to know what drives you. We call that your why. Once we understand it, we'll build a personalized wealth plan to help you achieve it. So tell us, what's your why? Copyright 2021, the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. All rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, February 7th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. During the height of the pandemic, technology was a game changer. But arguably, one piece of technology has been more significant than most. The medical technology behind mRNA vaccines. That's the backbone of the Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 shots. On today's show, our health reporter Jared Hopkins joins us to discuss the boost the pandemic gave this technology and what other diseases it might be used to fight next. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively that Peloton is being approached by potential suitors, including Amazon, with offers to buy the company. Sources say Amazon has been speaking with its advisors, and other possible buyers are circling, but no deal is imminent. Interest in buying Peloton comes as the fitness equipment maker's stock price has fallen sharply, and activist investors are encouraging it to explore a sale. Peloton's market value is close to $8 billion, well below its peak of $50 billion a year ago. News Corp says it was the target of a hack that accessed emails and documents of employees, including journalists. Among the publications and business units affected were the Wall Street Journal and its parent Dow Jones, the New York Post, the company's UK news outlets, and News Corp headquarters, according to an email sent to staff on Friday. The company's cybersecurity consultant said the attack was likely meant to gather intelligence to benefit China. In 2013, the journal reported that Chinese hackers broke into its network. WSJ law enforcement reporter Sadie Gurman has more.
Well, the Chinese have for decades been trying to access journalists' information, with the goal being to learn more about sensitive sources that go into reporting about topics of interest to the government in Beijing. In this case, we learned that the hackers were essentially able to go through drafts of stories and search for this information. But cybersecurity experts have said China's goal is not so much to share this information publicly as it is to simply learn more about who is informing stories and then possibly confront them.
A spokesman for the Chinese embassy in Washington said China opposes cyber attacks and cyber theft in all forms. On Friday, the House passed the America Competes Act, a $350 billion bill aimed at boosting U.S. competitiveness with China and addressing the semiconductor shortage. Here's Congressman Kurt Schrader of Oregon at the voting session.
Without this federal investment, our semiconductor problems would only grow worse. We'll continue to see critical shortages hindering a wide range of industries in my district and across the nation. Passage here will strengthen our domestic supply and lead to good-paying jobs for our citizens and companies as they move to expand and set up our domestic manufacturing facilities. This bill contains bipartisan proposals to keep us innovating and creating in critical industries and make sure that the United States is not at the mercy of a tenuous international supply chain.
The House now needs to work with the Senate to combine this bill with a similar one passed by the Senate in June. But the bills contain some significant differences. The House version, for example, would allocate funding to global economic challenges and issues like climate change, while the Senate version focuses more on the threat of China and developing cutting-edge technologies like artificial intelligence and quantum computing. And digital art was all the rage last year, most of it sold as non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, to ensure the work's authenticity. Collectors spent $21 billion trading digital art and collectibles last year, according to digital analytics firm DappRadar, up from just $67 million in 2020. But now that art collectors have these NFTs, that raises the question, how do they show them off? Our reporter Kelly Crow says collectors are getting creative and spending a lot.
Collectors have told me about everything from sort of hanging blank canvases on the wall and pointing projectors toward them so that they can run kind of looping slideshows of pieces. They are commissioning like vintage arcade games made of mahogany and limestone from sort of fancy designers so that they can put their NFTs inside. They are sort of turning Samsung TVs upside down and hanging things vertically. Basically, they're doing whatever they can to avoid looking like they're, you know, inside of an electronics retail store.
And I guess that beats swiping through your cell phone. All right, coming up, a game-changing medical technology helped us fight the pandemic. Now scientists want to know what other diseases it can help us fend off. We'll discuss after the break.
Private equity is a $4 trillion industry. I'm Wena Brown, host of the EY Next Wave Private Equity Podcast, where we explore how PE is creating value for all of its stakeholders across the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the course of the pandemic, you've probably heard about mRNA tech a lot. It's the medical technology behind COVID-19 vaccines from Moderna and from Pfizer and BioNTech. Before the pandemic, the tech was being developed and researched by scientists and drug companies, but medical experts didn't expect it to be widely used for some years to come. But the laser focus on addressing the coronavirus and a flood of money to develop new vaccines is pushing mRNA tech forward faster than ever. Now scientists, governments, and drug makers are asking, what else can mRNA do? Joining us to discuss this is reporter Jared Hopkins, who covers healthcare and pharmaceutical companies for the WSJ. Thanks for being here, Jared.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jared, let's just start with some basics. What makes mRNA vaccines different from other vaccines that people might be more familiar with?
So traditional vaccines, like the ones that we're very familiar with as adults and as children, use inactive or a weakened virus to essentially persuade the body to build up an immune response. Now, these older shots, though, they are made in large bioreactors or they're made in eggs. And this process is expensive. It's laborious. It can take months to do. It's a very, very long, drawn-out process. And guess what? Most of them don't work. Messenger RNA vaccines are really just sort of a kind of a whole different ballgame. So mRNA is a naturally occurring substance in cells. And what it basically does is it carries genetic instructions from DNA to the body's cells to make proteins. And so for vaccines, for other therapies, scientists repurpose the mRNA and they use it to instruct cells how to make proteins that are similar to ones found in a pathogen. mRNA is sort of similar to developing software. So once you have the genetic code of whatever virus that you are targeting and have that code sequenced, researchers then can use that code then to program the mRNA to mobilize a person's immune system against that particular virus. And that's something that can be done in a matter of weeks with these mRNA shots.
This knowledge that scientists developed in making the mRNA vaccine for COVID-19, that's transferable. They're going to use it to try and fight other diseases, right?
So that's the hope. The hope is that other diseases, other viruses can be successfully targeted by mRNA. And we're talking about anything like flu, to cancer, to HIV. There are liver ailments that are being worked on. Really, the effort is believed to sort of accelerate now that mRNA as a technology has been validated through these pandemic shots.
You say it's set to accelerate. What are we seeing drug companies doing that's showing that?
Well, we see big pharmaceutical companies, for one thing, either acquiring these smaller mRNA specialist biotech firms. We see big companies partnering and investing more in their own R&D for mRNA. And so the drug industry itself is getting much more active in moving some of these efforts along quicker.
So let's talk about some of the other viruses that they want to tackle with mRNA. You know, something that's maybe a little more complicated, like HIV.
So there are several efforts to use mRNA in HIV. Moderna, for example, just recently started enrolling participants in a clinical trial for that. One of the reasons why scientists are hopeful with HIV is that HIV is a very sort of a tricky virus. It replicates a lot. It replicates actually in about a day. One thing that mRNA can possibly help with here is that because of how quickly you can create vaccines and targets and possibilities, you can sort of test vaccines much quicker. So you can say, okay, I'm going to try this target. If it doesn't work, a few weeks later, you can try another target. And you can't do that with current vaccine technology because it takes months to do that.
Are there drawbacks, though, to using this kind of medical technology?
Well, one of the biggest questions about how mRNA can be used, sort of delivery. So it's one thing for mRNA, for the molecules to be delivered into and through to the liver. But if you go beyond that to other parts of the body, it gets a little bit trickier. We have seen one potential therapy for cystic fibrosis did not work in the clinic. It may not have worked, possibly because cystic fibrosis affects the lungs. And the lungs filter out dirt and particles. And the lungs may have sort of rejected or turned away the mRNA and making it unable to deliver those instructions to that section of the body. One challenge of mRNA is that if you compare it to the COVID vaccines, is that the COVID vaccines were given generally at lower doses, and the mRNA doesn't stay in the body very long, and then the body sort of moves on, right? It's a relatively quick process. With other diseases, the proteins that are sort of assembled by the mRNA have to stay around longer, or they have to be constructed in a different sort of way like that. Or the dose, possibly, does it need to be more? And then can the body tolerate it? Are there side effects? These are all the sorts of difficulties that these scientists are working through.
So it's not a perfect technology, but it certainly seems to have a lot of potential. How widespread do we expect this technology to be in the next few years?
Well, there aren't going to be quick answers like we had with COVID-19 and the mRNA vaccines. And that's probably because basically we were in the middle of a pandemic. There was an urgent need for a vaccine. You had government funding helping with a lot of the development and the clinical trials. You had the FDA that was sort of on high alert, dropping almost everything else just to study the data. We're not going to have that sort of urgency here with cancer therapies, with flu shots. Not because they're not important, but just because it's a really just a different sort of scenario, right? If you look at flu shots are typically 40 to 60% effective. We have flu shots every year. There's not necessarily this urgent need there. Now, however, as scientists and companies say, hey, if we could get an 80, 90% effective flu shot and be able to sort of roll these out much quicker, that's a really big advancement in the world of flu and influenza. And those are where the furthest along mRNA shots are in development.
All right. That was our reporter, Jared Hopkins. Thanks for joining us, Jared.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.